And we're back. Stripe Show Podcast on a Tuesday. Thank you for making us part of your day. Hope you tuned in yesterday on a Monday. A little bit of a brain dump for me from all things U.S. Open, but also some thoughts on the swings of Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. That's what we do. We always kind of tie it back. You know, that's my roots. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Go check it out. Tuesday, we got to look ahead. There's so many thoughts in my head I still want to get to, though, I think, from last week in the U.S. Open. Maybe those will come out as we have our conversation every week. He's on the road, third week in a row. We appreciate it. From at Read the Line, Mr. Keith Stewart. How are you, buddy?
Travis, I am well. Travis, I am live from the Travelers. So,
are you tired? You tired?
No, I mean, I'm not out. Well, it's hot. Unfortunately, yeah. The hot weather followed me up. But the golf course is in great shape. It's firm and fast. We haven't had much rain up here. You know, I hit my home on Sunday to get a little Father's Day in, and then up here.
Yeah. Well, good. So, well, happy belated Father's Day to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got them for about 10 minutes, and then we're on to the next. But this is 5 weeks and seven of signature and elite and a major event. So much like the rest of the people in this field, I won't be at the Rocket Mortgage. There you go. Shocker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we have 71 guys playing this week. And
no cut.
And I would say that in no cut, and I would say most of them are probably a little tired, right? I mean, this is – we go signature, U.S. Open – signature. And I know it's going to be different next year with the Memorial moving back to its original location, but this is a tough stretch for a lot of these guys. I mean, you know, we've got Cantlay there, we've got Schauffele, Rory of course has WD, Scheffler, English, Day, McKenzie, Hughes, Burns, Hovland, all these guys that of course have been on this heater, right? So it is a good field, and I'm sure the juices will get going as we get closer to Thursday. But there is a pack meeting. I want to start there. There is a PAC meeting today. A lot of rumors about PGA Tour Live, maybe some kind of an agreement here coming together, what that looks like. I mean, no one really knows. But have you heard anything on site on maybe the PAC meeting and maybe what goes from there from a potential announcement?
I think that Memorial Week, we all know about the meeting that took place in New York City. I believe that there was some preliminary paperwork. Mm-hmm. Agreed upon at that point. Obviously, the PGA Tour wasn't going to do anything to take away from the USGA's week last week. And I know that all the powers that be, including Webb Simpson, are here in Connecticut in order to meet this afternoon. And what comes out of that will surely either be they don't like it or some sort of announcement. So it seems as if there's going to be baby steps in the right direction to bring Bryson back to the tour.
Yes.
That's what we need, right?
That's right. We do need more Bryson. Hey, you got to give him credit. You know, look, I've been critical of Bryson over the last couple of years. He wasn't exactly my cup of tea, but I give him a lot of credit. I mean, hey, anytime you look at yourself and you start improving yourself, I have a lot of respect for that. And you can clearly see it with Bryson. And he has, let's face it, I mean, since he's went to Live, since he's opened up more of his YouTube channel, his personality has come out. People have embraced it. I think he's grown up a lot. I think his game is much more complete now. I think when he there for a while, the obsession with distance that he had, I think he neglected other parts of his game, including his short game. So I think when you look at him now, he's made the right decision clearly for himself. He's his game still has the power factor, but I think physically he looks better for the duration. And I got to tell you, Keith, I've never seen Bryson's short game as good as it is right now. That was fantastic. Bryson, if there's any, you know, weakness to his game over the years that you could point to, it would be around the green. His distance control with approach wedges, some of the finesse shots around the green. Not anymore. I mean, that was spectacular. That's what stood out to me. Yes, the 360-yard drives, that's Bryson's game, his iron game on point. But his wedge game around the greens, I was blown away, and for Rory for that matter. So I transition real quickly to the U.S. Open because I want to get your thoughts before we get to the Travelers.
All right.
As you have had a couple days to, you know, kind of think back with what we watched on Sunday, Rory gave it away or Bryson won it?
Oh, great question. Bryson won it. Bryson won it. Okay. I think at the end of the day, unlike a lot of other events, the U.S. Open tends to carry a little more weight than most. Even in some ways, a little bit more than the Masters, I think, at times. Or maybe we just haven't seen some great finishes at the Masters, but we've seen some really good U.S. Opens and we've seen some really good PGA Championships. And it just seems like in the heat of the moment, with recency bias, I feel like people are dumping on Rory pretty hard. You know, at the end of the day, it really wasn't the putter that did him in on Sunday. It was his approach play. It was not good. You know, he was top 10 in putting for the day. If you want to go back and look through the tape, I mean, really, it was his iron game that did him in. So, yes, he had the lead with a couple holes to go, but I wouldn't say that he had a two-shot lead ever because Bryson didn't play the short 13th yet. And when he walked away from the 13th, he had a one-shot lead, and they both missed a couple of putts, and then they get to 18. What happened on 18 happened on 18. All pressure is self-induced, period. And if you don't understand what that means, you need to write it down. You need to look at it, post it up on your wall. But, you know, nobody is harder on themselves than themselves. And, you know, it seems like after 37 majors now with 21 top 10s without a victory, six straight, top 10s in the U.S. Open? I mean, this guy's got a Phil record in the U.S. Open, you know? The guy's a phenomenal generational talent, but breaking through again is obviously more between his ears than has anything to do with his golf swing.
Yeah, I agree with you on the approach game. I talked about that in great depth yesterday. I thought the discussion between Brandel Chamblee and Paul Ginley was a good one on Live From afterwards. Paul took the approach more about his putting situationally. He tends to, you know, maybe clam up a little bit. We have seen that. I mean, look, on Sunday, I think there was a little bit of everything of what we've kind of seen from Rory and really defining why he hasn't won a major championship in 10 plus years. Yeah. There was a little bit of all that, but I tend to agree with Brandel. I always was thinking to myself, look, it's just a lot of these little loose end iron shots. You know, and it's frustrating because he does things that no one else can do, but then these vanilla sometimes approach shots, he flares one way out to the right. Misses the green. He then, you know, gets the club face to override it the next time and it's left. And it's just like these little underneath swings. And I know I'm being hypercritical. I get that. But we're analyzing right now at this level in defining why he hasn't been able to close one off. And I do think a lot of it is situationally. I do think the putter gets a little bit tight. But then I think you can't overlook the approach game because it just hasn't been good enough. And yesterday I kind of broke down like when he was winning everything by eight shots versus where he is today. Some of the conversations I've had with people around him in his camp, some of the text messaging that I've shared with Brandel over the last year about Rory, not just last week, but over the last year. And so it's fascinating. And I think we talk about it. We go to such great detail with it. For me, at least, because I want Rory to win. I genuinely, with great passion, wanted him to win. And he didn't. And so, as a fan, you're just, God, you know, you want some skin. Like, you want to look at the caddy and say, why did you hit driver on 18? You want a point there. You want a point there. So, it's maddening, but no one's more frustrated than him. He of course, withdraws, which is a whole nother, I think, discussion of not showing up to the signature event. He was obviously front and center about these signature events, why they're important. And here we are with the signature event and he's withdrawn. And so that's a bad look. And so it's just kind of, you know, snowballing to some degree. There's some frustration there. I hope he can recover and I hope he can get himself back in a position and find a way to get one of these done. But I'll finish with this. You know, look, I give Bryson a lot of credit. I do think he's the most popular player in the game right now. I think the PGA Tour misses him. That doesn't mean that I want that PGA Tour to sell their soul to Saudi Arabia to do a deal. That's not what that means. But through all this grand scheme of things, I don't think LIV is going to be that much more increasingly popular in the United States because Bryson won. I think it's unfortunate that he's not part of the Olympics team. It just, all these things just continue to go down this path of the mess that is professional golf. But for that 1 week in time in Pinehurst, man, if you weren't entertained by that on a Sunday afternoon, I don't know what you're looking for. I just don't. You can have your bitch fest about the commercials, and there's plenty that do and this and that. But at the end of the day, that was really good theater down the stretch. I mean, all right, Keith.
Yeah, but just to tie a bow on that, right? That's why I think Bryson won it. I just look at the whole day. I know everyone focuses on the last putt, but I just feel like if you look at the whole day, I think Bryson won it. Man, there's been enough piling on Rory. You know, yeah. I'm not a Rory homer, but there's been enough piling on him. We all saw what happened, and congrats to Bryson. And thank goodness for golf, because we could use it. We need somebody, you know, to carry that torch. So we need it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the underlining story here is the dominance of the United States players in these major championships. I mean, professional golf, these men.
What, six in a row?
White and blue. Red, white, and blue. Right. Six in a row now, folks. I mean, these guys are
Hasn't playing happened games. Since 2020, I think, right?
Yeah. And last time? It's cool. Cool to see. It really is. All right. So, Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands. You're on property. I've been up there a few times in my PGA Tour Academy days, did the road show, played the golf course a couple times. I really like this TPC. I think I would put it in the top five for me as far as, you know, kind of fun to play. I have some bad memories here in the way of betting because I had Russell Henley a couple years ago, and he grabbed the lead there with three to play, and then he went double-double. That was fun. We know Henley's going to be a little chalky this week, but we go to the board. We've got the usual suspects, but I want to start with a first look. You got one for me? You got a first look that is enticing for you? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about it.
Sorry, that was weak.
There he is.
I'm taking the kid. Ludwig.
Oh, God, man. You love him. Man, you love him.
What's not to love?
Find someone that loves you like Keith loves Oberg.
Oh, I'm telling you, the kid's going to win. He's got five top 25s in these seven signature events. He shows up, and now we're at a wedge fest. This is perfect. Wedge fest putter, right? The guy's going to – he's a stripe show with the driver, pun intended, right? I mean, let's go back to RSM. It's a great comp for this place, right? You don't have to hit driver there, but if you do, it's a huge advantage. You hit wedges to all the greens and you make the putts. You shoot 61-61 on the weekend. I mean, you're going to have to go nuclear here. I mean, granted, it's not nearly as wet as it was last year when I was on property. I've been out and around. It's firm and fast, but there's only so much you can do. It's 6,800. It's 753 yards less than last week, and they're both par 70s. 750 yards less in length. So, and I know that they've made changes to six holes, but that's not going to stop these guys from bombing gouge in this place. You know, they have a par five that's 525. And on Sunday, there were two par fours that the USGA put out on 4 and 16. They were over 530. Mm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have somebody who's going to get the ball moving off the tee, who's an incredible wedge player. And the putter is the most important. You got to have somebody that can roll a rock. And certainly over the course of the week, Ludwig was top 10 at, you know, not only just all of those par saves that he made, but also scoring a ton of birdie putts as well. So I love the fit here. I love that it's been 1 year since he started on the PGA Tour. He finished 24th here last year in his debut for PGA Tour, used number one player and starting of his conditional tour card. So I think there's just the earth is round, and he seems pretty unflappable. I mean, even when he made triple on Saturday and he got rocked, right? He still came back and he made birdie. Mm-hmm. Then the next day he had an unfortunate triple, and the next hole after that bounced back birdie. Like, you just love that stuff. And I think that a lot of these guys, like you mentioned, how Scotty doesn't want to go back to Pinehurst anytime soon. Xander didn't have his A game and he finished seventh. So, you know, Rory's not here. You know, Colin is certainly a threat or whatever, but I just like the kid right now. I mean, I think this kid's got a ton of swagger. And, I mean, when you're out here, man, he just hits it differently than everybody. He is definitely like much more like a Scotty and a Xander. And I think we're going to see that over time as he matures.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the course fit and like some of the key stats, this can be a wedge fest, right? Like 100 to 125, 125 to 150. You don't have to overpower this place. No. Short game, certainly, Keith, is going to be pushed way down versus what we saw last week. And obviously, you're going to have to make some birdies. So you want to have a lot of looks. Opportunities gained is kind of a good statistic to look at. I mean, these are some of the things that I'm loading in. But let's have a lot of looks. Approach game, wedges, nine, and then of course you're going to have to make some putts. And as you look in the field, like from 125 to 150. And you start looking at some of these wedge players. Let's do last 50 rounds. Okay. Too long?
Well, that's 12 24? Tournaments. That's going last to last 24? Year. 24 at the most, really. I'm looking for guys in this. What? Let's so 24 12. Would be six tournaments. Let's do like 16. I want to do Wells, Valhalla, Memorial. You know, these guys have played these five big tournaments. So
this guy just walked me right to the water. Now I got to drink it. Guess who is number one the last 12 rounds from 125 to 150? Your boy, Ludvig Åberg. I see you. Okay. So you got JT Poston. He's two. Lowry's three. Glover, Hoagie. Lee Hodges might be an interesting name this week if you're looking for some odds in a top 20. He can play.
Now, of all those guys, who can putt? Like, who can seriously putt?
Yeah.
And that's really why I feel like there's such an advantage in all of this. I mean, Xander, yes, he at times he looked like he wasn't even going to make the cut, and the guy finished T7. But there was two guys who finished in the top 10 who weren't putting very well last week. One was Tony, and the other one was Xander. So, like, it worries me that even Xander coming here where he's comfortable, you know, he did win in 2022, but really, Sahith should have won that one, but nope. No disrespect to Xander. He did win it. He won after 72 holes. But, like, the putter really needs to be going this week. If you look back at last year, at Keegan going nuclear, right, he gained 7 on the greens and he gained 7 on approach. So who are the people in the field that can do that? Now, sure, Lucas Glover, Tom Hoagie, those guys, they can gain 7 on approach. There's no doubt in my mind. But can they gain 7 with the putter? Mm-hmm. And those are the types of guys that I'm looking for. They're also going to be the type of guys, if you just filter for course history, they're going to be the same names that pop up over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I think, you know, Tony Finau is interesting, which I think is going to be chalky, right? And that's kind of the guy that as you look, I mean, he's going to check every box, but the question is, can he go positive 5 or 6 with the putter? Now, his game is probably in the best shape than it's been in all year. And this is Tony Finau season. I mean, this is when he really starts to put it together. The driver, the irons, very good. And so he's going to have a ton of looks. Now, his last two events, he's been positive in putting, just under positive 2. But can he go nuclear enough? Is it enough in this kind of event to win?
The way that he ball strikes it, if he just goes like +3 or +4, he'll win.
Okay.
I mean, his ball striking is, you know, I had a ticket on him at Memorial, and he was top 10 there. He was super impressive. He had, you know, tied for the low round of the day on Sunday at Pinehurst. And, so certainly ball striking wise, he's a perfect fit for what we're looking for this week. I mean, he drives it so straight. He's a great wedge player. And then of course we just need him to go 3 or 4 with the putter. He doesn't have to go Keegan 7, but, I'm just not sure, if that could happen, because if you look at that filter that you just did over the last, 16 rounds, like, guess what? Like, these are the guys that are rolling it really, really good. And that's what you need right now.
All right. Well, let's go. Last 12 rounds, stroke chain putting. Robert McIntyre, Mackenzie Hughes, Xander, Danny McCarthy, no surprise. Jason Day, Harris English, no surprise. Victor Perez, Davis Riley checks out the box from a wedge game and a putter, playing some good golf. But Zayden Hunt is ninth. Keegan Bradley. Can Bradley go back to back? I've heard Penrith's name thrown around a little bit. He's 11. Dietrich, we know, can putt. So these are some of the best putters in the game. I think Lee Hodges is kind of a sleeper, that if you're looking for some odds down, he brings the wedge, he brings the putter to the table. So Henley, another name. blitzed it on Sunday. He likes this place. He's going to be popular, though, don't you think? I mean, as you start looking at the top of the board, I mean Henley right now is 25-1. I mean, that seems a little short, doesn't it?
He's not 25.
Yes, he is. He's 25. I see 28. Well, I see a lot at 28. There's some 25s.
Oh, there's a 33 still out there.
Okay.
So, but he started the week at 40. So much to your point, even if he's going to get down below 30 probably, because the fact of the matter is that Russell Henley, he's been here six times. He's got four top 20s. I mean, you talked about the one time he gave it away, but he is the perfect model for this. He puts the ball in play off the tee, and he's like Tom Hoagie with a wedge in his hand. I mean, it's just like throwing lawn darts. But everyone, you know, the putter has always been kind of the roller coaster for Henley. But guess who led strokes gained putting for the week down at Pinehurst number two?
Yep.
Russell Henley.
Well, Sunday, man. Jesus, he just lit it up. I mean, Sunday, he was
tied with Finau and Burns. Yeah, he's 67, which was the low round on Sunday. So Russell Henley is coming in with a tremendous amount of momentum. And I think that, you know, he finishes top 10 there, but he's not having the fatigue of like contending like he was going to win. But from Russell Henley's perspective, he's now gone like a couple signature events in a row where he's like, you know what? I can play with Scottie Scheffler. I can play with Xander Schauffele. And you give that kind of guy who's been that hot with the putter coming back to a golf course where he's extremely comfortable, that much self-confidence, could be a good week. And I'm not worried about DFS leverage, right? I grabbed Henley on Monday at 40 because I knew that it was going to go nuts. I also thought that there was going to be a chance that at least one, if not two of the big three weren't going to show up, right? Because of the stretch run that we've been on and the heat and the amount of pressure and everything. And then, you know, Rory obviously being one of them, but as soon as that happens, then everyone's number gets cut too. So on the odds board. So, you know, I just wanted to get on him early, and I got on Hobert early because, you know, already, I mean, Ludwig will probably close at like 12, and I at least got him at 16.
What's interesting right now on some of the no putt team that we, you know, have some fun with, it seems like week in and week out. Finau is usually on there, but as I mentioned, putting much better the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Hideki, you know, he'll find himself on there. Hideki's been playing some really solid golf. His putter has been very good. U.S. Open, positive three. You know, he finished sixth, Memorial. Finished eighth, positive 1.2.
The big differentiator for Hideki, though, is that short game.
Yeah.
And it's mitigated here. If you're chipping to save pars, you're not making birdies. So you're falling behind the field. Now, granted, Hideki will still be top 20 because he's a top 10 player out there in signature events. But at the end of the day, like, his biggest strength is mitigated. It's very similar to why I was fading Scheffler last week at Pinehurst, was because his superpower is long iron approach, which we were going to have a zillion of last week. So he should have been able to separate times 10. But the reason that he didn't was because everybody had to hit to the center of the green and have 40-foot putts. So now all of a sudden, when it became a putting contest on Bermuda, we saw where Scheffler's weakness was, right? Because he couldn't fire at pins like he normally does because it would bounce and it would roll off and then he'd be short-sighted and then you were really at problems. So when everyone – same thing with Morikawa. When those greater approach players have to hit where everyone else hits, then it takes away – their ability to separate, and then you got to say, okay, well, then can this guy make a bunch of putts? Can he do this? Can he do that? And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Bryson's not a one-trick pony. You brought it up in the beginning, and neither is Rory. Rory's a tremendous scorer around the green, and that's why these guys, you know, so they bombed it out there, and then at the end of the day, they were able from 50 yards and in to be two of the best scorers in the field, and that's where they were on Sunday.
All right, well, so we're getting down towards the middle of the board.
All right.
Go ahead and drive the ship. Take us somewhere.
Well, I have a very interesting question for you, right? Because this is a guy we've talked about a lot this year, and he's coming back to a place where he's played very, very well. And he's a little bit lower on the board, but Patrick Cantlay misses the cut in the signature event at Memorial where he's won twice. Then he goes to the U.S. Open, and he has a very, very nice showing. Plays the type of golf we haven't seen from him all year. Mind you, I know that he finished top five at Heritage, but he's comfortable there. And he was also good at Genesis. But like, and then now he comes here. Do we think Patrick Cantlay is going to start to trend upward? And that, you know, he loves this golf course. He's played very well here. Is this a good place for him? Remember when he shot 60 in college? Or do we think that he declines again? Because that's one of the guys I had the most questions about. Like, what do you see going on in his golf swing that would make you think that he's going to continue to go one direction or the other based upon the juxtaposition of his last 2 weeks?
I think you have to feel much better about what you saw with his swing. I mean, Cantlay, as good as he was driving it, you know, last year and what he was doing with the driver last year and just dominance, then he kind of lost it. And I think the driver kind of leaked into probably some of his iron game. But look, he drove it much better. His iron game was superb. And his putter woke up. So yeah, I think you have to feel good about Cantlay for the first time really this year. I mean, I know he finished third at RBC after it was like 22nd at the Masters. But it's been kind of bumpy, you know, and for the most part with the swing. So I do think Cantlay is very much in play. I had to feel good to get back into the contention last week, get his heart beating, get in those final couple groups. And so, yeah, I think Cantlay, if I had to look at the top of the board, obviously you've got your usual suspects and Scheffler and Schauffele, you know, they're going to, you know, kind of sprint around, do enough. Morikawa has turned things around, I think, with no weaknesses in his game. You talked about Ludwig. Yeah, I could see myself sprinkling on Cantlay, but I'm not going to bet anybody in the top. I'm going different direction this week. I think we're, you know, the last couple of weeks have kind of played out the way I thought it would, you know, with some of the heavier names. I think this week, I think we got some tired guys. I think, you know, Rory not there. I'm thinking we need to look down the board a little bit this week. And so I am betting Finau.
All right.
Which I did.
Okay. I got a head to head for you. You can only pick one. Ready?
Okay.
Do you want Brian Harman or do you want Tom Kim?
I'm going to go Harman.
You can argue either way, but I think that that's a pick right in the middle there because they're both about plus 5,000.
I think Harman's ready to have a little bit of a week here. He's been, you know, we saw him at the Players and he's just been kind of, you know, making the cut, kicking around, you know, 25th each and every week. Yeah. It seems like it's always been something, right? Like his iron game's good and then he's not quite doing enough with the putter, and then the putter's good and then he's not quite doing enough with the irons. And so I think this is a good spot for him. You know, he doesn't need to be dominant off the tee. Just keep it in front of him. Look, if we can, I think Harmon's ready to be there and compete down the stretch with the iron game and the wedges clicking and a solid putting week at the same time, all coming together. So I'll give Harman the edge there.
Yeah, I think both are very strong right now, but the history here is quite good for Harman. You know, the guy's a top 10 machine. Wouldn't be surprised at all, but you know, those are two guys that I'm weighing right there.
What would you tell Justin Thomas?
We've been down this road before. Same thing I tell Cam Young. Same thing. Same thing that Xander did. I'd say, go look at what Xander did. I'm out here every week. I see it.
Are you not going to tell me what it is?
There is no son that's ever going to make their father proud.
Yeah.
Right? We live with that nonstop. Uh-huh. You know? And that constant challenge that we face it can be overwhelming at times. And it's hard to be an elite golfer like these guys, right? Mm-hmm. But they both have such an influence from those people. How could they ever learn and grow past that relationship if that relationship dominates everything? And the proof is totally on display with what Xander did this year. Both you and I were like not feeling Xander because we didn't know that Stefan was going to step back. And he did. And boy, look at this guy blossom as a player, as a human being, everything. And then now, you know, both of these other guys are on a downward trajectory. I'm not trying to throw blame on anything. I just think it's really, really hard mentally, right? Did Rory have his struggles down the stretch on Sunday because it was a physical issue?
Did Rory have his struggles because of a physical issue?
Or was it a mental issue? Right? It was mental.
I think it was mental, and then I think a little technique and what his misses with his irons.
Yeah, I mean, ball pressure is self-induced, Travis, right? What the load that we put on our own minds is basically what controls our performance. And I think it's just really tough for somebody like Justin Thomas at that elite level to continue to grow and improve like a lot of these guys have done that have become, you know, generational talents.
Yeah.
We go back to what, 2017? Did he win five times? He shot 59 at one point. He won a major. Mm-hmm. And he's won what, once since he won the PGA, and then like back before that, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might tell him that maybe it's time to.
I'll tell you what I'll tell him.
Go ahead.
He's got to rewire his putting. This has gone on too long. And, you know, I don't know if he's working with someone or what the deal is there, or if he's trying to figure it out. I don't have no idea. But he has got to change something up. Weak in the left hand. You know, he's always been in the fingers and pretty strong. Something has to change. He needs a new chapter. He's running the same thing back out there over and over and over again. And look, these guys are great. They're going to have some solid weeks. But there's no growth here with the putter. It's going the wrong way, and it has been. And I think it's leaking into the rest of his game because he knows his putter is not good enough. And so he's got to figure something out there. Like, go hire Phil Kenyon. You know, go hire John Graham. He worked with John for a while, and they won the players.
And then they kind of – all right.
So, but point being, like,
it's – And they won a PGA at Southern Hills.
It's getting to be a little bit of insanity right now. Like, something's got to change. With that putter,
that's my point.
Like, you've got to find some momentum and some growth with that putter. And I just think without it, like, he's just banging his head against the ground because it's putting so much pressure on the other parts of his game. So, but man, you look at some of these odds and, you know, some of these guys have just how far they're falling right now. It's crazy. Justin Thomas down here at, you know, what is he? 50-1 right now?
Yeah.
45-1, you know, Jordan Spieth, 55. 45. I mean, are you kidding? And these guys.
Max Homa
is down here now. What is he at? 65?
Max Homa's in the 7K range on DFS.
Man.
Along like with Cam Young and Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris is at the bottom of 7K length in DFS. He's 7,100. Think about
crazy.
That.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, the PGA Tour can't get a break with these guys, man. They're just all going.
I don't know.
We're all going the wrong way. All right, yeah. So let's live down here. Okay, so, I mean, I can't get behind Thomas. I can't get behind Spieth this week.
I got a trifecta down here for you.
I'm not gonna get behind Fitzpatrick. I mean, Denny McCarthy, is he ready to finally break out and be that guy? I don't know. I mean, I'm betting Sahith. Look, I'm down in this area. I'm not giving up on Sahith. He's been second here before a couple years ago. I'm staying with him. I think this is a good spot for him. You know, Poston, I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, I know he's finished second here as well, probably passed. This is a good spot for Hoagie. All right. I mean, those are my two. Who's your trifecta?
Well, I was going to say, first of all, stay away from Poston. He's got that runner-up, and then every other start here has been a miscut.
Okay.
Right? So that scares me for sure.
Yep.
And in that, like, 90 range, I've got three guys that catch my attention. One, the U.S. Open machine that is Harris English, former winner here.
I like Harris too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love Seabez for the fit, for the skill set. And then your boy, North Carolina's finest, the swashbuckling lefty, right? The man that's got more swag than anybody out on tour between that hair and the outfits and everything, Akshay.
Yeah.
This is a tremendous course fit for him because
That
guy is a like uber ball striker. And you want to talk about playing two U.S. Opens in a row in heat and humidity and pressure and everything? I mean, he's one of the few guys that has back-to-back top 20s in those two events, right? Akshay's, he's golfing his ball lately. That guy is a really, really talented ball striker. Yeah.
No doubt.
The putter for sure. But you know what? I mean, this may be one of those places where it just kind of wakes up and he just goes to town. Him at 90-1 blows my mind because like his ball striking is at a level right now and the performances that he's had. You know, I mean, you got Cam Young down here at 100-1 and Akshay's 90-1. Yeah. And man, you talk about a tale of two cities. I mean, those guys are on two different planets.
Yeah.
When it comes down to what's happening right now. So, you know, like those would be those three guys there. I mean, Harris English, the ball striking numbers were awful going into the US Open. He makes another cut. He's never missed a cut in the US Open. Mm-hmm. And he loves this place up here. So,
He can go nuclear with that putter. You know that.
Oh, he goes nuclear with the putter every week.
Yeah.
Look at his stroke gain stats.
Jesus, right? What happened to his iron game? I mean, what happened?
It's not good.
What happened?
I tell you what, though. The putter is like, it's unbelievable how good it is.
It is.
It's really, really good. And you're coming up to a place here where he's going to hit a bunch of wedges. He's not worried about his long iron game. He's going to hit a bunch of wedges. And then he's gonna make putts all day long.
Yeah.
These greens are perfect. It hasn't rained up here. This thing is firm and fast. It is absolutely gorgeous, the course conditions that I'm staring at as I watch these guys practice and mill about. You know, like this is going to be fun this week. We'll probably have a winning score in the like 16 to 18 range because, you know, we might get a little rain towards the end of the week or those guys are just that good. But the ball's going to have a little bounce here. It's going to be fun. It's going to be impressive, at least for the first three rounds from the heat.
I like Harris. I think this is a good spot for Harris. And if he can, you know, get some wedges in his hand, God, you know, positive eight last week with the putter. My goodness.
Yeah. At that place. Right.
Yeah. I think Akshay's interesting. I think that's a really good grab here. I think with Akshay with his ball striking, certainly at 80-1. I mean, man, how do you not sprinkle some on that?
I mean, he's up at 90 on some boards.
Yeah.
Right?
Would you go Mackenzie Hughes or Austin Ekro?
Neither. I would go with one of those three I just talked about.
Do you like Lee Hodges at all?
I'm still going to go with one of those three, and it's a signature event, and I'm not going to go much higher than that.
Why not Victor Perez? I mean, I think this is a decent spot for him.
Well, why not Victor? I mean, not Victor. Why not Matthew Pavone? If we're going to go French Olympic team, let's go. Let's, you know, I mean, it's.
If I'm Pavone not mistaken, hold on a second.
Pavone will be a nice fit here the way he's striking it. Guy's confident too. He's a good ball striker, man.
Pavone. Oh yeah. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
So I'd be more on Pavone than I would be on Perez. I'm sure their odds are somewhere around the same. I'm sure they're not giving Pavone any credit for that fifth place.
No.
He's down in 6K land in DFS. So if I go look over here at the board. Yeah, Pavone's at 125. Guy was just fifth at the US Open. Struck it great. What a guy who can putt right next to him on the board. He had Thomas Dietrich. Another guy hits it great, putts it, you know?
I get it, Pavone, I get it. I think Perez is a little bit of a sleeper. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is that can go, you know, he can get going with his irons and he can go nuclear with the putter now. I mean, he just a few weeks ago in Canada, he was positive nine. He can go nuclear.
Yeah. What concerns me most about that is if you look back the last 10 years and we're going past the signature events and everything, the longest odds winner here was Kevin Streelman. And that's just a different era on the tour. Yeah. The average of the pre-tournament odds for the guys that won here is like plus 5,100.
That's what it feels like. That's my point. You know, that's where I've loaded up. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So I just, what that combination has been, it's been a bunch of guys that have been like favorites, like Jordan at like 15-1 and DJ. And then it's been a bunch of guys like at 50, 60. And that's the average between the two. You know, like it just hasn't been these bombs that have won here. And now you make it a signature event and you give these guys four guaranteed rounds. It's very difficult for me to see somebody that's over like at the most 80, 90-1, but really over 50-1. That if you give, there's so many guys playing so well in that range.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. Harman,
Henley, Tom Kim, Sahith, Cantley, over. I mean, like, one of them has to be, just one of them has to be very good, and they've all been great. Like, that you're telling me that, like, all, I mean, the reason I give like somebody like Akshay a chance is that because that guy can, he's so good at ball striking. Mm-hmm. The putter just has to be like remotely good. I mean, if he goes Harris English with the putter and Akshay hits it like he normally does, he'd win this thing by six. Mm-hmm. He'd break Keegan's record from last year. I mean, that's how good that guy hits it. And it's sometimes it's tough for people to wrap their head around like new players being that good at something that they're not used to seeing them. But like he seriously strikes it at like a Xander Scotty level. He does. He's really good.
Yeah. Well, does he strike it better than Corey Connors?
Yeah. I mean,
Connors is right there with him. And speaking of no putt, this is what's been kind of fascinating with some of my research.
Yeah.
You know, team no putt, all of a sudden some guys are starting to figure it out with the putter, and Connors has been pretty good, you know, in the last two out of the last three.
Hey, so, congrats. I mean, he jumped past Hadwin on the last day to get on the Canadian Olympic team. So that's kind of cool for him. Maybe there's a little letdown after that, or I look at it this way. If you're giving me Akshay and Connors has won twice on tour at the same place. Someplace he's comfortable. Akshay's won twice on tour this year.
Okay. So you think Akshay can win three times?
In a year? Yeah, I think he's that okay. Talented.
All right, cool. So I've taught you something, because no one touts more Akshay more than I do.
Akshay's a popular guy in my world, for sure. But there's no doubt that
you could have threw me a little bone. I mean, at least.
Well, but there's no doubt
that made me feel good, but missed opportunity.
I mean, nothing's gonna make you feel good. You're in a Rory.
I know, right? I'm pissed off because Rory's. Can't figure it out.
So wait, all right, let's wrap up this way, right? Or
yeah,
not, we don't have to close. It's no, obviously your show.
Because we're not like, going. We're not going past. I think we've nailed it in past. The middle. Yeah, we're not. We've nailed it in the middle.
What do you think? Did Rory lose it or did Bryson win it? Because that's a great question. Tremendous question. Why I love this show every Tuesday, because you always come up with at least one question, if not five, that are like that really make me think, and I love to do that. What do you think?
I think anytime you miss two short putts like that, you've lost it. I mean, you know, like you just, what was it, 145 in a row? 145. I mean, I take nothing away from Bryson. I'm taking zero away from Bryson. Win the U.S. Open. He won it. But come on, man. Like bogeying three of the last four, missing two short putts. That didn't happen, you know? And so the pressure hit. You want to call it choking, whatever it is. But like situationally, you bogey three of the last four, you miss two short putts, you lost the tournament.
I feel your pain. I had the ladies leader at 70-1, Naren on, with three holes to go. And she went bogey, par, bogey.
Yeah.
And we lost. Right. So I feel your pain, man. Yeah. She lost it because she was cruising. And that was tough.
And he opened the door. And you know who walked in? Bryson. I'll tell you what, that three wood he hit on the short par four, brilliant. The short game shots that he got up and down in some of these spots on Sunday, brilliance. I mean, brilliance. I take nothing away from him. I think it was great theater. I'm not disappointed that Bryson won. Like, I'm not mad that Bryson won because he plays on LIV or whatever. That's not what it is. It's not about PGA Tour versus LIV. I just was really hoping that Rory was going to win one. You know, I thought he was going to get his fifth. I thought he was going to break the streak. I thought that was what was going to happen. I wanted it to happen. And so as a fan, you know, I walk away a little disappointed. But at the same time, you can also recognize, and this is where, and I'll finish with this. This is where like this PGA Tour LIV discussion gets very frustrating, because like, you know, I got a lot of people that get on me like, well, you don't like LIV. And it's like, well, I don't think LIV is what professional golf should look like. That's just my opinion. That's not what I envision it to be. And what now, does it have a place in exhibitions and things like that? Yeah, I do. But it's not the way that I want to define the top shelf professional game. It's not the way I want it to look and feel. That's just my opinion. At the same time, these guys that go over there and play and got paid an extraordinary amount of money, good for them, right? It takes nothing away from that they're great players. These are, you know, Bryson's one of the best players in the world. John Rahm's one of the best players in the world. Brooks Koepka is one of the best players in the world. Cam Smith's one of the best players in the world. And so that takes nothing away from any of them. And as they go back to their tour and they play in Nashville this week, so be it. I'm not going to watch, and most won't. And that's just me as a fan, because I'm just going to gravitate to what I think is the better version of professional golf, and that is what we see on the PGA Tour. Now, in the end, I think obviously some of this has to come together. These guys have to figure it out. There's going to have to be some pride that's going to have to be swallowed. There's going to be some, I think, bridges that are burnt. There's going to be some things that are unfair in those that stayed versus didn't. We don't know how it's going to play out, but it's not going to be a perfect scenario. No. But they've got to find some common ground and figure out what they want professional golf to look like. All the extra ancillary stuff that works around it, whether it's indoor golf or whether it's some of this, you know, exhibition stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, what we saw on Sunday is great. You know, I mean, that was great. You know, it just was fabulous to see, in my opinion, the two most popular players coming together and bashing it out like that. As a fan, my guy didn't win. You move on. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, and look, I want to finish with this actually, because the people that pile on Rory, you know, like, I think the hardest thing is the thing that I have the most respect for these guys. And it's not just golf, but it's for every sport. It's the fact that they put themselves out there. You know, I have the most respect for that. They compete at the highest level. They put it on the line. Their name is on it. And so that to me deserves the most respect. The guys that take the shot at it, these no name bandits on Twitter, like they're cowards. Like they're cowards, right? They can't even sniff what's happening and or even relate to what's happening with these guys in the arena. So I just have so much respect for what they do and putting it on the line, and they take it up to that thresh and then they don't win. And the disappointment in that, you gotta take a step back and you gotta have some feelings for that. You know, you gotta have a little sensitivity to that. I think that's important. And I'm certainly due, with Rory and, you know, taking some time. He's got some things that's happening off the course as well, getting back with his marriage. There's a lot of things that moving parts and, you know, get your life right. You know, you gotta take care of yourself first. And then from there, you know, you can kind of do the other things.
I think that's all well, very well said, you know, and, I hope Rory gets another one. And, you know, somebody asked me earlier today, they said, do you take offense to him not meeting with the media, or do you take offense to him not waiting around to shake Bryson's hand? And I said, well, the media thing, it is what it is, right? But as far as shaking someone's hand, you go back and you show me on YouTube anytime that Tiger hung around for somebody that beat him. Mm-hmm. Come on. What are we talking about? Like,
yeah, well,
he's supposed to hang around and shake his hand. Like these guys, they all know one each other and give him a call. They'll say, hey, congratulations. You know, it's, I don't know. I feel like people were really piling on Rory there. And trust me, he had plenty to pile on himself at that moment. It's tough. So I'll let him be. I'll see him in Scotland. All right.
Yes. We have one more Open Championship coming up in July. You know what? Maybe we should just take the next week off. Rocket Mortgage. I don't know. We'll talk about it off air. Right. We're just right now. I mean, I'm tired. I can't even imagine what like Scotty and Rory and, you know, Bryson's going to Nashville this week to play. I mean, these guys got to be like, Jesus, like we got to tee it up again.
I mean, I've seen them all today walking around. They all look like zombies, you know. But they're here.
But the juices, I tell you, the juices will get going. They'll announce their name and they'll be, you know, they'll make a silly bogey and all of a sudden they'll be like, okay, let's go. You know, it's time to get back on track. Keith, you're the man. Hey, I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for coming on these 3 weeks.
Always.
Great work as always.
Have a great week, everybody.